Welcome back to another episode of the Skits and Giggles podcast. For this one, we got to sit down with the Trail Forks ambassador for Switzerland, André Trumeau, or as he is known on the platform and on Pinkbike, Jurassic. Crowdsourcing and communities stand at the core of Trail Forks, and André gives us a great overview of the main features, on how the approach works on the platform, what his role is in channeling all that data, and what regular users can do apart from just uploading their GPS files. Of course, we also get to hear about André's favorite features, how he got into Trail Forks himself, and about how he works with institutions like Schweizmobil or IMBA Switzerland to not only improve Trail Forks, but also to help their organizations with the data from Trail Forks. For more information about this episode and the Skits and Giggles podcast, you can just follow the links in the description. To support the podcast, please share this episode with your riding buddies or leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite platform. Also, have you heard about the best ride of the year? If not, then check out episode 71 in our archives or go to skitsandgiggles.com/ride to find out more. That's it, that's all. And here's our chat with André Trumeau. Why don't you tell us about your favorite feature of Trail Forks?
Personally, I use the trail style filters really often when I'm in a new region. There is a trail style called Popular. This changes the color of all trails according to the popularity in this region. So you won't miss any classic trail there, so the locals will discover you all the best trails. And as van lifer, I like the road trip feature where you can set a start and end point on the map through Europe or anywhere on the world. And Trail Forks recommends you the popularity of the trail networks where your route is going. This is a really nice feature.
Absolutely. And with that, we say welcome to the Skits and Giggles podcast, André Trumeau, a.k.a. Mr. Jurassic on Pinkbike and Trail Forks. How is it going tonight?
Thank you. I'm feeling good. Sitting here on my couch, drinking a Mondsteiner beer and having a good chat with cool people.
Oh, thanks for that. Bryson, how's it going?
Doing really well, Pascal. How about yourself?
Oh, good. All good. We finally get going. It was a bit of a struggle so far. But that is interesting. No, none of our listeners. So they want to know, for certainly the ones that are not so familiar with Trail Forks, what can you tell them what Trail Forks is and why should they be using it?
Trail Forks is a crowdsourced database of trail networks covering multiple activities with the main focus on mountain biking. But it is primarily made for non-profit trail association, so they can promote their trails in the region and provide to their trail users the best experience.
Bryson, are you using Trail Forks, and what is your favorite feature?
I am currently a Trail Forks subscriber, pro subscriber, I guess you would be. So yes, I've been using it since close to the beginning, actually. So I want to say thank you to Trevor, by the way. My favorite feature has got to be the heat maps. Once I was showed that, it was kind of eye-opening. Okay, this is cool. This is a really nice painting, actually. So I just look at it, I just stare at the colors. But it also helps me navigate to, you know, probably where I'm going to find the better trails. And I still haven't yet decoded when I see a black trail or a double black or whatever, but the heat map suggests that it's not popular. I don't know if I should go there or not, but I always end up doing it. But yeah, anyways, have you ever used Trail Forks, Pascal?
Oh yeah, for sure. I love it for exploring. I'm a mapping tool nerd in that sense that I use many different tools, so Strava and Komoot and Trail Forks and Outdoor Active and all these other things, and all of them have their unique features. Some of them are the same, And I guess today we kind of want to illustrate a little bit what the main benefits are of trail forks, because it is quite unique. And I think one key point that that I pick out from what you said when you described it is crowdsourcing. And I want to spend a little bit of time on what you mean with crowdsourcing, right? Because, for example, Strava, they also take GPS data from their users. That could be crowdsourcing. But what do you mean with crowdsourcing with TrailForks specifically?
There are different kind of content which you can find on TrailForks. Of course, trails, but you can also find POIs, you can find routes, you can find all kind of data which helps you for your next route planning. And there are several ways to contribute content on TrailForks. First, of course, is logging your rides. You can do it with Garmin devices, Strava, or with the TrailForks app itself, and provide then usage data to your local trail association, for example. And when you had a really good ride and you think, wow, this trail, this isn't on TrailForks, you can take your ride log and say, okay, crop this section and upload it as a new trail. Then administrator of TrailForks usually have an eye on it and says, okay, this is a really cool trail or looks good, we approve it. Or other user can also give their votes, and if it hits the threshold of 5 votes for confirming, it will be approved by itself only by users without any administration, for example. It's also a mechanism which is unique on TrailForks. So this would be a self-running crowdsourced database in the end without administration. But of course, the administration is useful to have like a quality on TrailForks. So it's not just Wild West. So it gets a kind of a standardized quality with the administration.
I want to dive deeper into, you know, the trail submission and that kind of problem field later on. But first, I want to clarify a few other things. So you mentioned that, you know, there's different users and they can submit different things. And so can you kind of break down a little bit? So what are the different user groups for TrailForks, right? So is it enough to just upload your GPS, or how else can people be involved?
Yeah, there are many ways. Yeah. So, of course, primarily it's uploading your favorite trails on TrailForks. Or, you can also, like I mentioned, contribute with confirming content. There is like a special page on TrailForks where you can see contributions from all the world, and you can give there the vote. You can see, okay, somebody uploaded a trail in my neighborhood. He's not allowed to. You can also deny it or reject, for example. It's also a possibility. You can also edit existing content, of course. So you can say, well, this rating is completely wrong. It's never an easy green trail. This is a double black diamond, for example. I found one. And so you can also change this. You can also vote for the rating. There are multiple ways. You can also add POIs, like, for example, water sources, parkings, which are a good start point for the trail network, side points, or other historic things which can be discovered in the region. Or, of course, you can also provide a route. So the basic layer in TrailForks when you enter it is the map with all the sections or segments of different trails. Often people struggle to find their a route on this view. Other people like it. They say, wow, I can pick my own rides or my own trails and plan my route by just clicking on the trails. There's also like a ride planner feature where you can say, okay, I want to ride this trail, and this trail. And then TrailForks goes through the database and says, well, there was a user which wrote these trails in one ride and makes a recommendation to do the same, for example. So, yeah, there are many, many ways which the TrailForks development implemented in TrailForks. Many, many ways how to take part of this database and contribute content. Yeah, for me, it's also like sharing. So when I'm in a new place, I like really to discover and find these trails. And sometimes you are short on time, and when you get good recommendations, so why not recommend some good rides in your region for other which will visit you?
Okay.
So sometimes also people come back to you, write your message, hey, you uploaded this trail, is it still good, can you recommend? And so you can also start conversation with other users which are thinking about visiting your place.
Now, Andre, you mentioned a little bit just past about trail associations. And I think this gets down to kind of the root of the whole situation here. So how can trail associations use TrailForks to promote their trails, promote biking advocacy? And do you provide some, or are there tools provided to them?
The Trail Association is the main focus of the development of TrailForks. So basically they will find the most features on TrailForks than anyone else. It starts that you can publish your planned trails, for example. So you could provide to the public your plans. Look there, we plan to build there a trail. You can raise fundings for these trails. It's also possible. So it's like a Trail Karma program, which TrailForks has. TrailForks makes then also suggestions to the user where they should spend or donate money based on their usage of the trail networks. So end of the year, you get some recommendations which say, well, we saw you have ridden the most in this area. Why not donating to this trail association, which takes care of these trails? And this money goes 100% to these trail associations. So there is nothing TrailForks takes away from these donations. This is a way, of course. And, of course, also by administrating the region. So TrailForks prefers more when local administrators, which are connected with politics, land managers, or whatever is influencing in the region, more than the crowdsourced thing. So that doesn't mean that the users cannot get involved then in this situation. It's then like a mix. So, but the focus is that the trail association can improve and say, okay, this is really a trail good for mountain biking, and maybe this trail is just a hike trail. There are a lot of hikers, so they can also change the activity and say allowed activity is hiking, not mountain biking. And so a bike user gets also like informed previously of the route planning. So you already know, this trail is really with a lot of hikers, it is not much joy to stop 20 times in your downhill and expecting families behind every corner. So why not following in the recommendation of this trail association and having a good day? Yeah.
So you are the country administrator for Switzerland for Trail Forks. We have 26 cantons in this beautiful country. How challenging on a scale from 1 to 26 is it to coordinate, 26 different cantons with, I'm sure, at least 10 interest groups per canton and trail associations and all these kind of things? How are you managing all of that?
First of all, I have some help, of course. So I'm not doing this job alone. There is another friend who is also taking an eye on the content in Switzerland. So that's first of all, of course. But basically, that's also the mind of the Trail Forks. So it's not my role to be the police and say, no, you cannot upload this and you cannot do this and that. So what I do is I give advice to these associations or also users. There are sometimes users which are contributing a lot of data. And so we give them advice. Hey, look, we have these features. You can do it like that or take an example here. And often they don't know, of course, of this because there are so many features on Trail Forks that when you start there, you are overwhelmed by everything you can do there. And, well, of course, if it's just a user, then we do more, we take more influence on them. But at some point we say, Trail Association, it's your region. You can decide what is right or wrong in your region. So basically, this is the mindset of Trail Forks. So it's not like a government which is telling you what's wrong and right. Yeah, of course. But of course, when it's completely irritating or we have some rules, of course. But it's not really a problem on Trail Forks. Yeah.
And how much influence comes from apps like Schweizmobil? That's a very well-known and highly regarded mapping information for anyone in Switzerland, hikers or alpinists.
So far, Schweizmobil is not taking any influence on Trail Forks, but users are uploading content of Schweizmobil. So this forced me to start also conversation with Schweizmobil because I wanted to clarify how we can use their data, what's about copyrights, and also offering them, hey, when your content is on Trail Forks, why not being like a trail association for your routes? We can add your logo at these routes and add your links and all that stuff. And it was a really nice conversation with Schweizmobil, which is just started. So regarding this, I can say stay tuned for the next season. Maybe we will have some influence by Schweizmobil. So for the user who like the content of them, I think they will be surprised what they can find next season. The point was also there, Schweizmobil is like the sanctioning body in Switzerland with the authority from the government. So they are like really a big reference. And I told them, hey, Trail Forks is here. The tool is used by many users and providing a lot of data and useful thing. I recommend to take part of it because you cannot avoid Trail Forks. If you want to have some guidance and orientation of the users and there is still a so powerful app in the background. It's like you're turning in cycles or in circles.
But I guess that's the real crux of the discussion, right? Because of course, on the one hand, Schweizmobil, as you say, is the sanctioning body, the gold standard, the reference for what constitutes a trail in many regions. And of course, trail forks can be used as a platform to push unsanctioned trails, let's say in air quotes, illegal trails, or, you know, the secret loamers of this world. And, you know, the question is, how do you work with the different institutions to tackle these problems, right? So that on the one hand, you have the official trails, kind of what, let's say, the government or the mapping authority sees as trail. And on the other hand, what is user generated from trail forks, and, you know, that may or may not be legal. So how do you cross that bridge?
Well, it's of course not easy. I personally also don't know each corner of Switzerland, and if there are sanctions or not for these lines. When I approve content of users where in a region where there isn't a local administration, I check also the official maps. Swiss Topo is a good base. Or also with OpenStreetMap, you get also some background information. And maybe I also start a conversation with the user and asking, hey, what's the situation there? So that's one thing where I communicate personally with the users. And on the other thing, with the Trail Association, at the end, it's their opportunity to take part of this crowdsourced database. So they should be also more in charge of their position and say, well, we can here take part and take influence, because trail forks, it's not just for bikers. You can also publish hike trails and really say it's not allowed to bike there. So the mountain biker is then informed. Of course, there are always people who ignore any laws or rules or whatever. But the majority of people, I believe, is still looking on such informations and planning accordingly. So this is a job which we both administrators here in Switzerland cannot do it for the whole country, of course. So we are more like guides who show the associations the possibilities. So far in Switzerland, these associations always believed, well, it's just crowdsourced, so only user content and kept distance to this platform. But if you really understand what Trail Forks all about, then you see, you know, it's made for these trail associations. So it's an opportunity for them to take part and provide guidance to all these mountain bikers here in this land.
Absolutely. Now that you talk through how Trail Forks actually works with the crowdsourcing, with the community feedback and involvement of trail associations, right? So that is like the killer feature of the platform, right? And so kind of that constant feedback loop is between, you know, trail users, trail associations, what is actually being ridden, what is acknowledged as an official trail, what is a hiking trail, what is a skiing route, or whatever it is, right? So that constant process, I believe, is very, very, very powerful. And I think, the different regions should make more use of that technology.
Exactly.
In terms of sharing best practice with using the platform, which regions do you think are doing a great job, and which ones can maybe, you know, improve their Trail Forks game a little bit still?
The most use of Trail Forks are taking tourism regions in Switzerland. So like Bike Kingdom, Flims, Laax, Davos. Davos also use it really in the cable car station. You can see the Trail Forks map of the region on the screen there. So in these regions, also in Wallis, I'm not sure how it's in English, I think Wallis or Valle. There are some regions like Verbier or the French part of Port Isolée. The Swiss part could be better, but yeah. So there are the most usage of the Trail Forks platform, but there are also smaller local trail associations. Also, for example, Zurich Trails is maintaining a good status update of their trails. I like this also really much, so that you can see what's the condition out there. Or when they are kind of building something on the trails, then you really get informed on which days you can go or when you better choose another trail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, this year I started a cooperation also with IMBA Schweiz. And I have also like a role as an ambassador in Switzerland. And we try to really give the members of IMBA a benefit and make some good tutorials for them. So that's also something which I'm looking forward for next season. So it's getting better and better. So we had this year a lot of introductions of new associations, and they are just starting using it. So it's growing.
Yeah, I can see that on Pinkbike, because I started following you on Pinkbike, your user, and then in my dashboard it always pops up when you've had some interactions with something, and then here a new trail association pops up, and there a new trail, and you know, this is all kind of very transparent and open, and everyone can see what's actually going on. I think that's also a very powerful feature of the platform.
Yes, yeah. The transparency is a big point. Yeah. You even can trace, if it is provided, this information, how much work is done on the trails by the trail associations. So this is also a feature on Trail Forks. Yeah. That's also something which we recommend to these associations, to track how much hours they spend. And at the end of the year, you can simply create a report of all the work done. And for example, provide it to your local politics or something. And you can really say, hey, well, we spent this year with 50 volunteers, about 1,000 hours on trail building. Well, not sure if these numbers come together, but yeah, maybe in future. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's exactly what is needed, right? So if you think about the discussions that are happening in the public space, right, then it's exactly this quantification of how much are the trails actually used, how much work is being put into them, and how can we use that data to illustrate the needs that are actually here for the different communities and mountain biking groups and all that sort of stuff, right? And I think data is always an incredibly powerful narrative to, you know, lead a discussion with simple facts, right? So it's an easy mm-hmm. discussion to go to someone and say like, hey, look, here is a database, and these are the trails that are in this zone, and you know, this is how many riders are using them, and why are we not doing something about this? There's obviously a need, and I think that is in a very important role that a community like Trail Forks can play in helping those trail associations as well to have these discussions.
I can also give an example which is starting soon.
Well, unfortunately, that trail project was shut down in the meantime and will be delayed a couple years. The key messages are still very valid though, which is why we left them in, just without the name of the project. Back to André.
It's really cool. We have the opportunity there to promote this new trail network with all features of TrailForks. So I can say here, stay tuned for this. And we really want to use it to show also then the authorities how the situation will change in this region with TrailForks also, of course. And I see here a lot of potential coming up. And if this makes school, then I think, the other platforms need to run to get up with TrailForks.
It's some really exciting news.
There's a nice problem to have.
André, I want to talk a little bit more about the course you're doing with Imba Schweiz. But first, I would be interested to know if you've heard some good arguments as to why a trail association doesn't want to use TrailForks to help them out.
Yes, I had feedbacks from trail associations which doesn't want to take part. It's often regions where the politics are not so bike friendly as other regions. So then they are like afraid that their name is then published with illegal trails or problematic trails. And of course, this can take an effect on your image in this region. So this is maybe one point. There is in TrailForks also a solution for this, of course, as always. So trail associations, they really can adopt single trails, so single trails, and only there is their name published, for example. So there is also solutions for this. Or we just publish their name in the region. So if you click then on the region, which is the container of the trail network, then you see, there is a trail association. I recommend this because, why not going into the public and say, hey, we are here, we are an association, and we want to advocate for trails, looking with the land managers for solutions and taking notes of all stakeholders and taking care of it. So this is a really important thing. So far it's only a few associations which are not taking part of it, and I'm sure it will change in future.
André, I just want to say you're a genuine advocate for mountain bike in Switzerland. So we give you the kudos.
Thank you.
Maybe just shortly about your course. What is going on there? What have you started?
I had the chance to have a small presentation at the presidential conference of Imba Schweiz about TrailForks. And I announced there or promised there that we will do a tutorial session with the members of Imba Schweiz. And we just recently launched the communication for it. This is taking part in January. We have three sessions. First, of course, we need to get all on the same level. So we welcome them on the TrailForks platform and will show them what's all about. what's the usage of it, how users see the platform, of course. It's also important to understand what's the access to this platform, of course. And in, also in the first session, we go through how they can publish their trail association and promote their association on TrailForks. Yeah, so TrailForks are there are so many features, so it's not just one session, of course, enough for it. We have then also question and answer sessions, of course, afterwards. The second session is then more about editing and adding content to the platform, how you can use the data which is coming from the users. So each ride log is important on TrailForks. So even this is a contribution to this whole thing. And this takes also a lot of time to go through everything there. And then we have a third session. It's called Beyond. There we show, for example, also the API. There is an API where you can use the data from TrailForks for your usage, for example, on your website, or print maps for your region. There are multiple things we will show in the third session, which is then like the point on the I.
Okay. And you'll probably be offering further sessions to other organizations, as permitted when the interest comes in, I guess.
Yes. Well, basically, it's not restricted just to IMBA members. So basically everyone is invited. So it's open for everyone. Currently, I just opened a website for it with the registration form. You can find it on freeride.bike. Yeah, it's maybe also some user will find some useful information there. And of course, contribution is open for everyone, so it's not just for trail associations. So I really can recommend to everyone using the short days, taking a cup of coffee or whatever you like, sit down and join this session.
Is that going to be a regular thing? Are you going to host those like once a quarter or once every semester or something like that? Or is it a one-off kind of situation?
I'm thinking about this, yes. This is for sure something which I want to open also in this discussion at these sessions. I would also like, for example, to have like a TrailForks ride out once a year with administrations or other users which want to join. I have also contact with different tourism organization. Maybe one organization is offering some tickets or whatever. Would be cool. So if somebody listened to it, just come by and we could promote a cool day. And maybe you can also imagine if multiple administrators are joining this day, your region will be maybe on the next day different on TrailForks platform with more trails and more content. Yeah, this would be also a cool idea. And yes, like a meeting where we could share the experiences on TrailForks would be also a nice thing, which I have in mind for the next season.
Andre, that brings me down. What got you into TrailForks? I mean, obviously we're mountain bikers, but what was that? what was that got you into it?
When I started using TrailForks, Switzerland was like a white
White That's place. Like when I got here, actually. Yeah,
exactly. It's like the North Pole, all white, no trails.
Yeah. So, oh, you look on it and think, oh, no trails. No. Well, of course, we are also spoiled in Switzerland with map tools. Well, we invented the topographic, picture, if you want to say this. So so we are spoiled with Swiss Topo, Schweizmobil, and other official platforms, of course. So this is maybe also the reason why Switzerland is one of the best biking places, but not on the top contribution list on TrailForks, because we're just spoiled, yeah. But what brought me to TrailForks was a travel to Sweden in 2018. They were a little bit more into TrailForks this time, and you really found really cool trail networks on TrailForks in Sweden. And I really enjoyed it, using this app in Sweden. And when I came back to Switzerland, I started contributing content in the Jura Mountains and in northwest Switzerland. And my contributions were maybe too much for the administration there, because they all need to approve it. So a guy invited me for an introduction meeting and said, well, you're the new administrator for North Switzerland, Northwest Switzerland, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, so this is how
it
started.
You submit too many trails. Please stop or approve them yourself.
Approve them yourself. Cool story.
Yeah. Yeah. What I also like in TrailFork is on your personal profile, you have like the world map, and then it puts like needles on all the trails you have ridden. So
it's like a little trophy case.
It says,
I rode here. I love it too, actually. Maybe that's my favorite feature, actually. It's like a little trophy case. I like that.
Yeah, and then you remember, when you look at this map, you see, in 2018, Sweden was a nice travel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice memories. Nice memories too.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it's what I always say. It's like, I love where mountain biking has taken me, not only physically, but kind of mentally and emotionally and all the whole package, right? So having that as a nice reminder, like a global map, different trails marked on it, different regions. It's really something nice. A nice overview.
Mm-hmm.
It's also cool, and that's the crowdsourcing element, right? It's kind of that also how TrailForks develops, right? So then it's, you said you traveled to Sweden and there it was already pretty developed. And now you look around in Switzerland, there's some regions where it's pretty developed. And, then I remember going back to Canada, like where it was born. And there it's a completely different ball game, right? If you go to the North Shore or Squamish or Whistler or wherever, right? So there's pretty much every single trail is in TrailForks. Not everyone, of course. We know about the secret loamers that no one wants to have on any platform, but most of the worthwhile ones where you probably don't kill yourself, they are there. So it's always good to kind of revisit the places and also see on TrailForks how the places are developing.
Mm-hmm.
I always think that's interesting. Anyway, let's bring it back to your own mountain biking. You said you rode a lot and submitted many trails, but what kind of mental picture do we have to have in mind when we think as our country administrator of TrailForks and his mountain biking? What does he like? Obviously not the secret loamers.
I keep them for me.
Exactly.
I'll call you sometime.
Exactly. Can we have God mode access?
Yeah, you have to contribute 3,000 trails, then you get it.
Oh, unlucky. Okay. Yeah, unlucky.
Challenge accepted.
What I'm for a rider? Well, I developed for sure over time. I started with about 9 years old with cross country. With a steel frame, without suspension at all, of course, with a geometry which is today, maybe you can find it
on a gravel bike.
That's a good comparison. Yes, I started cross country with a gravel bike. Yes, yeah. With about 9 years, of course, you start with some slope riding or obstacles and challenging for the children. Yes, you know, and then it continued about until I was 17, 18, something like that. And then other things catched my attention in life. And then also, of course, job. You have to deal it. You have to get money for all the fancy bikes. But I really lost the bike out of sight. Made my study and all the thing and came back maybe with 28, 29 on the bike. And in these years, the full suspension bikes were also like made a big step. And I had the chance to test a bike, full suspension. And yeah, I smiled a lot on this ride. And yeah, found back on these wheels. Yeah, with these full suspension bikes. This was in 2009, I think. Yeah.
Oh, so we're about the same age. That's funny. I had a kind of a similar trajectory with mountain bikes. I had a long break between about 2002 and 2014, 15. Yeah, and so in the meantime, mountain bikes have become really, really cool, and all the stuff that used to break and fall apart and not be very good in 99, 2000 was all of a sudden it was great. So like disc brakes, all of a sudden they worked, and full suspension, amazing, and you went flat all the time, and tubeless finally worked, and so yeah, so that's funny. Yeah. So I'm not the only one. Whew, good.
Cool, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And this also, of course, cross-country, this wasn't anything for me anymore at this time. But the all-mountain riding first catch my attention. And I also remember I joined a camp with Thomas Giger, with Ridepoint CH. In school, and there were some crazy guys. They opened my eyes. What's possible with these bikes? So you still had the old, even I think 24-inch wheels we had at the beginning.
26.
I'm not sure. I think when I was 9, it was 20. Well, okay. A child cycle, of course. Yeah, but yes, you're right. 26, terrible geometry and all the thing. A lot of adrenaline on the bike, of course, yeah, with these old bikes. And now you can ride trails unbelievable compared to the past. Yes, and more the bike also developed, and I found the limits of the bike. It ended up in Scotland, also a rock plate digged into my frame. So I needed a new frame. I found a real cool store in the Highlands. He had the whole fleet of Santa Cruz bikes. And I could test 3 days long all the models of Santa Cruz. was a really funny guy, and he made me also an unbeatable offer. Yeah, and then I decided to come on a Nomad, and yeah, still really happy with this frame. It's crazy. Yeah, it's you can send it anywhere. It's you feel like you are now the limit, not the bike. So that is really cool. Yeah, yeah. And I guess it's also with other bikes. Previously, I had a track bike, more like an all-rounder, and now with more up, more downhill oriented, it's a complete different story. So yeah, so that's how it's going.
You know, we have a little thing we like to do. We just started, actually. It's a little bit new.
That's okay. Recent.
It's recent.
Call it, well, recent.
Okay. We had a previous guest on, Louis, Mr. Eisenhut. Thank you for the question. We asked him to provide a question to our next guest. So I'm going to slap it on you, Andre. If you could change anything about the mountain bike scene in Switzerland, what would it be?
It's a really interesting question. Yeah. So I answer it from my perspective. What I sometimes miss is more contribution to the real trails, of course. So we are shredding a lot of hike trails, which are maintained by hike organizations. And yeah, and we are developing like a little bit like a consuming community. Of course, Trail Forks helps also to this, of course. And I think this is something which the mountain bike scene at all, of course, could take more part with. Of course, there are in the mountain bike scene a lot of contributors, a lot of trail builders, but it's still just a small minority of the whole scene in my side. I think probably I would change this. So you have to earn your trails. You have to first to go and dig before you can shred your berms or something like this. That is one thing which I'm thinking about. On the other hand, what I'm also missing, especially here in Switzerland, is more support for the recreational sport. So right now with Swiss cycling is a lot focus on cross country, DH races or enduro races is still just a small number in the whole game, and I think there could be more support for these niches. Yeah. I think this is something which could be changed in our MTB scene here in Switzerland.
I thought you came swinging out of the gate with one exceptionally powerful theme, but actually you hit us with two of them. That's very true. Okay. Thank you for that answer. I think we can pick up on that another time.
Okay, we are getting towards the end of our time tonight. Is there anything you wanted to add to anything that we said before?
Well, of course, I have to say that you're amazing guys. I was told to say that. No. I think it's also important for the MTB scene to have a podcast like this. Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool thing. And of course, I will want to say at this point also big thank you to all contributors on Trail Forks, to all trail builders, to all trail associations, to all that people who are in the background, ruling and advocating for our thing. Yeah, I'm really happy to see how it is evolving, and I'm really curious about the future. And for this, of course, we need also good podcasts with cool moderators and people with the heart at the right place. Yeah.
Thank you for those kind words. We try to do our little piece for the community. But what we also do for the community is ask our guests something before we let them go. And Bryson, what is this?
What is it? Well, actually, first of all, thank you, Andre, or as the astute pink biker will know him as Jurassic. The final question of the day. So as country administrator of Switzerland and Liechtenstein on Trail Forks, the Skigglers demand to know, what is your description of the perfect skid?
I think when a skid is longer than my smile, then it's good enough.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, wow. Okay. We can take that. We take that. That's a good submission.
It's just acceptable.
That's very good. That's very good.
Yeah.
We it's like a creative relation between which demands skidding and smiling. Exactly. All right. Well, with that, we say thank you very much for your time. It's been a slight struggle. Hopefully our listeners don't feel anything of that. Before we let you go, can you let us know where our listeners can find you and how they can reach out to you if they want to help with Trail Forks?
Usually you can simply select a region on Trail Forks. And all at the bottom, you can find the administrator infos. My infos is, of course, for Switzerland available. So if you visit the Switzerland landing page of Trail Forks, you can find it. Or you can simply search on the Pink Bike community for Jurassic. Then you can find me. Or you can also write me a message over freeride.bike. And I'm happy to hear from anyone who has questions about Trail Forks, bands, bikes, or simply life. I'm open Very for good. Any questions.
We'll put all of those links into the description of this episode. So people can find it there and reach out to you if they have any questions. With that, again, thank you very much. This was really interesting and I think a really valuable discussion. And I hope to see you out on the trail soon.
Yes, I hope that too, yeah.
Thanks for listening. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. Why don't you let us know what you think? We really like to hear from our listeners. To find out how to get in touch with us, follow the links to our website in the description or find us on Instagram under @skitsandgiggles. Until next time, Skigglers.